Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and give us a call, 208-991-4783. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. We are beginning our next listener support campaign next month, so if you have any suggestions for thank you gifts and such, you can email them to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Well, this is the last summer replacement season for A Life in Your Hands that we're going to begin now. And for the first season in 1949, we had two of the episodes. And we have five of the episodes from the second season, and none of the episodes from the third season. The good news is by my count, we have all the episodes from this fourth season. In the first two seasons, it aired as a replacement series for People Are Funny, and it was sponsored by Raleigh Cigarettes. In the third season, it was sponsored by Heinz Foods, replacing Ozzie and Harriet. This season, it was substituting for Father Knows Best, and it was sustained. This series ran only 7 weeks in the summer of 1952. Now, I will let you know this first episode is a bit more challenging. You have to pay attention as all of the intro and narrations and commercials, public service announcements have all been cut from this episode. So when we go into the show, we're going right into Jonathan Keg talking to his secretary and dictating a letter. We haven't missed any of the plot, but all of the padding is gone. All right, well, with that said, let's go ahead and we will listen to today's episode of A Life with Your Hands from July the 10th of 1952. This one is Gangster Murdered.
One more letter, Miss Rogers, and then you may go home.
Thank you, Mr. Keg. I'm in no hurry.
We've had a long day. This will be the last. Telegram to Captain J.K. Hutchison, South Wind Lodge, La Rosa Key. There's a box number here. You can take it off this envelope.
Yes, sir.
Dear Ken, thanks for letting me know the tarpon are going wild off the coast. Leaving tonight. Plan to join you day after tomorrow. Best regards, Jonathan. I guess that cleans up the desk.
I can't think of anything else.
You'll know where to reach me.
I just hope you can get away this time.
So do I. This will be the fourth try. Every time I plan a fishing trip, somebody murders somebody.
That's the way with the city, trouble all around us. It won't be like this on a peaceful island in the Caribbean.
I hope you're right. But I've found that murder isn't very careful about picking a place to happen. As you've heard me say, you never know when you may be called upon to testify to an act of violence in which you have become involved quite innocently. Even now, on one of those peaceful islands in the Caribbean, there may be a crime in the making.
What a crummy place. How I ever let you two drag me down here, I'll never know. Rosa Key, South Wind Lodge, the end of the world. Chips, June, listen to me. Say something.
What do you want me to say?
Get your nose out of that movie magazine and pay attention. What are you reading that trash for anyway?
At least I read.
You read, sure. Travel folders, beautiful Caribbean, alone on a romantic island. No, this was your idea.
You said it was smart, boss. You said we could hide out here, have the plane pick us up, and fly us on down to South America. You said...
Sure, I said it. Think I'd be here the rest of my life?
Mickey told you he might have trouble hiring a guy with a plane to meet us here, take us out of the country. Time and trouble. That's what Mickey said.
Well, I paid him $5,000. That ought to take care of plenty of trouble. You gave him the dough, didn't you?
Oh, sure, boy. Sure I did.
Well, what's holding him up? I told you to get your nose out of that magazine.
Hey, you don't have to knock it out of my hand.
This joint's getting me down. Same people for 3 weeks. I'm sick of their faces. How that guy, that Rail Buckland, can live here the year round? He's nuts.
He owns the place.
So he's nuts. Nobody has run a joint like this. Not even a radio.
How you figure he ever knows the track results?
Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he likes the peace and quiet and going out with guests like Captain Hutchison to fish.
Captain Hutchison. Kind of like him, don't you?
He's 60 years old.
Well, so is the guy you were going around with when I married you.
Older men know how to talk nice to a girl.
Stay away from him.
I can't read. I can't talk to anybody.
Well, that's too bad. You sure have it tough, don't you? Listen, baby. You two, Chips. Both of you were punks when I found you. You'd still be nickel and dimes if it wasn't for Dan Wilmore. As long as I'm picking up the check, you do what I say.
What are we supposed to do? We're waiting, too.
No use to get yourself steamed up, Danny.
Well, look, I'm trying to get out of the country. If the feds get to me, I'm good for 20 years.
The plane will be here.
When? You two act like you're on a vacation. Well, have a good time. Get ready, go back home. I'm tired of you both.
Mutual.
All right, what's keeping you here? Want me to tell you? $50,000 I got stuck in behind that moth-eaten fish hanging in our bedroom. That's what's keeping you here. I couldn't shake you two off me now.
Hey, we helped you get that dough, boy.
You think I needed you? You think you're smart, the two of you, to figure out a job like that?
Somebody's coming.
Go on, honey. Tell them you're a big shot.
Quiet.
They ought to know it by now. You've been bragging about it ever since you got here. Show them to their face, Danny. The cops are after me. I'm going to South America, and I got $50,000 in my bedroom behind
now,
a stump.
You...
No, Danny, not now. Leave it alone.
Afternoon, everybody.
Oh, hi, Mr. Buckland.
Hello, Pop.
You folks enjoying yourselves, are you?
Yeah, we're having a great time. I'm sitting here in the lobby all afternoon watching a bug flying around the room.
That's so.
Yeah, so much excitement, I can hardly stand it.
It is pretty quiet in La Rosa Key. I'd be glad to take you out fishing tomorrow.
Forget it, Pop. We'll be pulling out of here in a couple of days.
Oh?
In the meantime, how about a little service, huh?
You have a complaint of some kind?
Yeah, you might say that. The food is no good. I wouldn't eat it in a nightclub. The beds have rocks in them. The mosquitoes
leave him
are
alone,
out.
Danny.
Now, you stay out of this.
He's doing the best he can for
us.
I'm sorry you don't like it here.
Don't mind him, Mr. Buckland. He's had a lot of very nervous tension lately. That's why we're here. My husband needs rest from his chosen profession.
Yeah, it's important to his health.
And continued well-being.
I can understand that. A lot of men work too hard.
Oh, everything's all right.
I sure hope so. Well, Captain Hutchison will be up from the dock before long. I'd better go see about some supper.
I'll call you in time to wash up.
Oh, okay, Mr. Buckland. Okay.
What a deal. That old buzzard, you two, and talk your arm off Hutchison.
You forgot to tell him about your money.
Forget it, will you?
Well, I didn't bring it up. You did. You've been shouting about it ever since we got here.
Here, read your magazine. Maybe you'll keep your mouth shut. I'm going for a walk. I'll be back later.
Don't bother on my account. Throw me an apple, Chip, will you?
Oh, well, sure. Here you are.
Thanks.
Boss is kind of worried.
Yeah.
Getting on his nerves, all this waiting around.
Not too bad.
Shame.
Such a sweet guy. Nice to everybody. Talks like a gentleman. It'd be terrible if anything happened to him.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think to myself, June, honey, wouldn't it be too bad if anything serious happened to Danny? Like he got sick, or the Federals picked him up, or,
He got himself killed?
Yeah, that too. Almost anything. Wouldn't it be just too bad?
Captain?
Yes?
Captain Hutchison.
Who is it?
It's me, Captain. Rail Buckler.
Well, fine. Say, I want to tell you that was a good supper we had tonight. I feel comfortable and very well fit.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Captain, would you mind keeping your voice down? They're right inside. They might hear us from the porch here.
You mean the other guests? The Wilmores and their friend?
I want to talk to you about them. You haven't paid much attention to them, have you?
Well, try to be friendly. Mrs. Wilmore has been cordial, but the men don't seem to want my company.
And they don't like me either. In my way of thinking, people that don't like other people are usually trying to hide something.
You think they're...
I come in and out the door locked. I hear a lot more than my guests think I do.
I imagine you do.
A couple of times I've heard them fighting among themselves. They're fugitive criminals, Captain.
Now, Buckland, your imagination
is... I heard them. Wilmore, he's the boss, and the other one helps him. They're waiting here for somebody to pick them up and take them to South America. I think the police are after the whole crew.
If that's true, we'd better... Of course, we're 8 miles from the mainland, but they should be reported.
That's why I'm talking to you now. You'd be curious if I tried to leave the island tonight.
They don't think you suspect, do they?
I wouldn't like to take a chance.
Can't blame you.
Tomorrow morning, we'll put out at dawn and act like we're going after Tarpoon. And when we get out of sight, we'll head for town and come back with some other men.
Tomorrow morning.
That's soon enough, if we act natural and don't let on we know who they are.
I suppose you're right.
I'm going to bed early like I always do.
I was going to sit up and read until midnight anyway.
That's the idea, Captain. We go right on like we don't suspect a thing. Then tomorrow, we'll have the police over here and catch all three of them.
I'm going up to the resort, Mr. Swenson. I'll be back in a few minutes.
I'll wait here for you, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Swenson, please do. Oh! Oh, dear. Hello? Hello? Yoo-hoo!
Just a minute.
Good evening.
How do you do? I heard the boat, but I thought it went on by.
Well, I had my guy tie up at your dock. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
I realize it is quite late,
but... Glad to see you. Come right in.
Well, we were passing, and I saw the light, and I hoped you wouldn't be disturbed.
I was just reading. My name's Captain Hutchinson. I'm one of the guests at South Wind Resort.
Oh, one of the guests? Well, I suppose you do, but...
what did you have in mind?
Well, I suppose you can tell me what I want to know.
Glad to be of service. Have a chair, Mrs.
Miss Irma May Jones. I'm a school teacher from Ohio. Teeville, Ohio. Biology.
Very pleased to know you.
Captain Hutchinson, I am after seashells.
You've come to the right place.
In the last 2 weeks, I have nearly completed my collection of known seashells found on the beaches of the Gulf of Mexico, found in this area, naturally.
Naturally.
I need one perfect Junonia and a perfect lion's paw, and I intend to find them.
Very worthy endeavor.
I am here to inquire if the beaches of La Rosa Key might be a good hunting ground.
Well, I've seen a lot of shells lying around.
You're not a collector?
No, no, no. I fish. Tarpon, mostly.
Yes. Well, Captain, is there anyone on the island who could tell me about shelling conditions?
Well, the owner of the resort, Mr. Buckland. Tell you the truth, everybody else has gone to bed. I hate to disturb Mr. Buckland this late. If you come back tomorrow, I'm sure he'd be
well,
glad.
Well, I had intended to try some of the islands south of here. No, I'm afraid I couldn't. Well, that sounds like someone's moving about.
Shutter banging against the house.
It was an off chance. A collector never likes to leave any stone unturned, so to speak.
Quite true, yes.
Well, you could ask the owner of the resort if the beaches might be productive. And then if I happen to pass by again, I could inquire.
That's a good idea. You come back and I'll let you know what I find out. What is it you're looking for?
A perfect Junonia and a lion's paw. Both are quite uncommon.
Well, I'll try to remember the names and tell Mr. Buckland.
Well, I think I'd better be going.
Buckland should know if anyone would. He's lived around here 25 years.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Captain. I'm sorry to have disturbed you.
Not at all. Glad to help.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody's calling for help.
Yes, I hear them.
Sounds like Dan Wilmore.
Well, I'd better be leaving.
Who's that yelling? It woke me up.
Dan Wilmore, Buckland.
Oh, I knew something would happen. Those criminals...
He's in trouble.
Boss, come on.
He's calling for you,
Chief. Yeah, I heard him.
A man might have the decency to wear more than shorts. I've seen enough.
Well, I've been out of trouble.
happy you, him.
Oh, Captain. Captain Hutchinson.
Jonathan Kane. Glad to see you. They got your telegram. Jonathan, I'm mixed up in a murder. This man was stabbed to death. He fell at the foot of the bed. His wife was asleep in it. The windows and doors were locked. Looks bad for her.
I heard your testimony from the back of the room.
Well, why don't you get up there and help that coroner, Raleigh, straighten this out? You'll keep us here for a week. Besides, I don't know anything about it. I was talking to a woman in the lobby.
I'll see what I can do, Captain. If I can get through the crowd. Oh, excuse me?
Certainly, sir.
Pardon me, please.
How about you?
Can you let me by here?
Yeah, all right.
Thank you. Coroner. Coroner Raleigh.
Yes? What is it?
My name's Jonathan King. I'm a lawyer.
Nobody needs a lawyer. No one's under suspicion.
I understand that. You see, sir, I often have the privilege of serving as an amicus curiae.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've...
Serving only the court. Seeking the truth is my sole interest.
Oh, yes, I've heard of you. Glad to have you, Mr. King. Ladies and gentlemen, an amicus curiae is a friend of the court. He does not represent anyone involved in the crime. He's not paid either. Miss Keg uses his expert ability to cross-examine witnesses to discover the truth. Miss Keg, call anyone you want to. I've been talking to Rail Buckland here.
I'd like to ask him a few questions. Mr. Buckland, where were you when Daniel Wilmore called for help?
I just told the coroner.
Please answer my question.
Well, I was in bed, half asleep. It was hot, and I'd been up to get some water out of the pitcher. When I heard the yelling, I put on a bathrobe and ran to the room. We broke down the door.
Where did you find the body?
A few feet inside the door.
Where was Mrs. Wilmore?
Sitting up in bed screaming her head off.
Where was the murder weapon?
Well, right at the foot of the bed. The knife was a good 10 feet from Wilmore's body.
Who found the knife?
We all noticed it at once, I guess.
Did you ever hear Mrs. Wilmore argue with her husband?
They argued quite a bit.
Was Wilmore friendly with Chips Lardard?
All three of them fought like tomcats. That's how I knew they was criminals. Heard them yelling at each other about going to South America to get away from the law.
Why didn't you report this to the police?
I was going to take my boat into the mainland the next morning. I just didn't like them. They were mean. He was the worst. Talked rough, ordered me around... Wanted extra attention. They were a bad lot, and I didn't want them hanging around.
Did you tell Wilmore you were going to report him to the authorities?
Oh, of course I didn't. I'd have been the dead one if I had.
Mr. Buckland, why did you say you broke down the door?
Well, sir, we had to break down the door to get in. Like I said, it was locked inside, and we checked all the windows, and they're locked from the inside, too.
Thank you, Mr. Buckland. I would like to call Chips Larnard. Mr. Larnard, do you agree that the murder room was locked from the inside?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilmore and her husband Danny were alone in the room?
That's right.
Why would Mr. Wilmore lock the windows and the door?
Maybe he wanted to be alone.
Answer my question, please.
He was carrying a lot of money. 50,000 bucks.
What was your connection with Mr. Wilmore?
I was supposed to keep him from getting killed. Danny Wilmore was a swindler, a gambler, a racketeer.
And the money was the proceeds from his, activities?
That's right.
Where is that money now?
I sure wish I knew.
Why?
Well, you couldn't have made it without me.
Where were you when Wilmore called for help?
In bed, asleep. I woke up. I ran down the hall and helped Buckland and the captain bust down the door.
Did you have a gun?
I didn't even put on my pants.
What were you wearing?
A pair of shorts. Can't expect a guy to sleep in a fur coat on such a hot night.
You were Wilmore's bodyguard. You heard him shout for help, yet you didn't even take time to pick up your gun?
I can do all right with my bare hands.
Did you get along with Wilmore?
I worked for him, that's all.
Did Mrs. Wilmore work for her husband?
Yeah. Yeah, and the evening before, they had a scrap. Afterwards, she told me it'd be a shame if Danny got killed or something. The way she said it, she wished he would.
That will be all. Mrs. Wilmore, please take the stand. Mrs. Wilmore, did you kill your husband?
No, sir.
Do you know who did?
I I don't have any evidence, but
I need facts, not opinions. Why was your husband killed?
His money. We hid it behind a stuffed fish on the bedroom wall. Whoever killed him took the money.
Mr. Larned says you expressed the feeling that you wished he was dead.
I said what he told you, but I didn't mean it, honest. I don't know anything about who killed Danny. When I woke up, he was standing at the foot of the bed just yelling, and then he fell.
Are you trying to make this coroner's jury believe you slept peacefully while someone entered the room, killed your husband, took his money, and escaped through a locked door or window?
I don't know what happened. I didn't kill him.
Mrs. Wilmore, did you dream at all during the night?
Yes. Yes, I did. Why?
Can you recall the dream?
Well, it was a nightmare. There were guns going off, and I was trying to hide. I was scared.
Coroner Raleigh, I wish to point out that one sound may stimulate a dream. The nature of the sound may not be interpreted accurately. It may be confused in the dreamer's subconscious mind. This is an established scientific fact. It's possible that Mrs. Wilmore actually heard a sound, like a shot being fired while the murder was taking place.
Mr. Keg.
Yes?
Could I ask a question?
Go on.
I've been around tough guys a long time. I've been around when people got killed and when people were planning to kill people. I read detective stories and I go to the movies. Now, maybe I don't act very smart, but with what I know, first and second hand...
Is this your question?
With what I know, would I kill my husband in a locked room with nobody else around to get blamed for it? Tell me, could anybody think I'm that dumb?
Not unless they thought you were very clever, Mrs. Wilmore. Coroner Raleigh, I would like to request a recess until day after tomorrow. I wish to locate an innocent bystander, a person completely unaware of what took place that night, yet might have been close enough to help us learn the truth.
All right, Miss Keg. Until I call you together again to continue the inquest, this jury is excused.
Coroner Raleigh, I would like to publicly thank Miss Jones for returning from her home in Ohio to testify at this inquest.
I considered it my duty.
We're grateful to you, Miss Jones. Proceed, Miss Cage.
Miss Jones, you were present at South Wind Lodge on La Rosa Key on the night the deceased Daniel Wilmore met his death?
I was in the lounge talking to Captain Hutchinson. And then suddenly, the most unusual things began to happen.
We'll come to that. Please answer my question.
My answer is yes.
You were present at the resort?
I was.
How did you arrive at the island?
By boat. I chartered it for the day for Mr. Swenson, and he'd taken me to visit some of the islands in the vicinity.
What did you do when you arrived?
I walked from the dock to the resort.
You saw no one?
Only Captain Hutchinson. He was sitting in the lobby, or lounge, reading.
What were the weather conditions?
Warm. Hot, in fact. It was not uncomfortable on the water, but on land it was muggy.
The windows of the resort were open? The doors?
Yes.
Was the captain alone when you entered the lobby or lounge?
Yes, yes. He told me everyone else had gone to bed.
Did you have reason to doubt this?
Well, he may have thought they were in bed asleep, but while we were talking, I heard a window open.
You're sure it was open?
Oh, absolutely. And a few seconds later, it was closed. Bang down.
You heard the window open, naturally, then slammed down?
Yes, sir.
Go on, please.
Well, I believe that's all I can tell you. I informed the captain that I was anxious to leave, and I was thanking him for his information.
Just one moment. Why were you anxious to leave?
Well, I was worried about, something made me concerned. I started for the door
now,
and...
Now, think very hard, Miss Jones.
Oh, of course. The banging noise, I thought a wind must have come up suddenly.
Did Captain Hutchinson notice the sound?
He told me it was a shutter.
You heard the window open?
Yes.
Then you heard it close?
Then a man shouted.
Shouted what?
A name. Chips, I believe. I've been thinking about it on the plane trip here.
Yes?
I was frightened. A man shouting, a woman screaming, and that gentleman, Mr. Buckland, ran through the room in his bathrobe, And that one.
Chips Larned?
He dashed by in just his shorts.
What did you do?
I blushed.
Yes, of course. What happened next, Miss Jones?
Well, the entire experience was shocking. I felt faint for a moment. Then they were kicking at a door, so I ran to the dock and told Mr. Swenson my experience, and we headed for the mainland.
On your way to the mainland, did the wind and waves toss the boat around?
Oh, it was perfectly calm, Mr. Cake. Whatever gave you the idea there was a storm?
Thank you, Miss Jones. That is all.
Oh, well, I'm all right now. I did feel faint for a moment, but I'm sure I can go on.
That will not be necessary. Your testimony as to what you heard has given us the truth.
Quiet, please. Quiet, everyone. Please, quiet. Quiet.
Coroner Raleigh, you are a physician, are you not?
I am.
As a doctor, do you believe it is possible for a man fatally stabbed to close a window, lock it, and walk 10 feet or more before he fell?
Possible, but...
That is the answer to the locked room. Daniel Wilmore was stabbed by someone outside the window. He pulled away, leaving the knife in the murderer's hand. To keep from being struck again, he slammed the window down, threw the lock, and staggered toward the door, shouting for his friend and bodyguard, Chips Larner.
Don't try to hang this on me. I didn't do it.
Here's a gun.
Careful now, everyone.
Mom, you stay where you are.
Careful, everyone. Careful.
Larner, don't be a fool.
Don't move, Keg. You're not going to frame me. I'm getting out of here.
Drop that gun. Drop it or I'll come get it.
I'm warning you, Keg.
The testimony of the innocent bystander can be interpreted in only one way. Stand still, Larner. Daniel Wilmore's killer hid outside the bedroom. He was there when Miss Jones walked up to the house. He planned to enter and take the money, but the window was locked.
Keep walking and I'll shoot.
The killer attracted his victim by banging the shutter against the house. Miss Jones heard that sound. The sound that awakened Wilmore made him go to the window and open it to fasten the shutter.
If you're saying that was me, I'll...
The killer struck, but the window was slammed and locked in his face. He ran inside, helped break down the door, and dropped the knife at the foot of the bed.
I was wearing shorts. I couldn't have carried a knife, or they'd have seen it. Keg, I didn't kill Danny.
I know you didn't. Give me your gun.
Okay. Okay.
Coroner Raleigh, who could have hidden outside the window without being seen? Who could have carried a blood-stained knife without it being noticed?
Well, I don't...
A man who was wearing a black bathrobe, maybe?
I own the place. I don't need to kill and steal.
Maybe you're tired of taking orders, cooking meals, carrying suitcases.
Nobody will believe that.
You wanted the money and you have it. You returned after the murder, before the police searched. You removed $50,000 from behind...
He took that money from honest men. Men like me. He was a no-good criminal. I have more right to it than...
Yes, Rail Buckland. You killed Danny Wilmore. Coroner Raleigh, thanks to the testimony of a completely innocent bystander, Miss Irma Mae Jones, we have learned the murderer of Daniel Wilmore.
You did it, Mr. Keg. Solved a murder by questioning an innocent bystander. The honest people of the county thank you.
Coroner Raleigh, our system of justice is based on the ability of witnesses to testify accurately. Because of this, we can usually learn the truth.
When will we see you again, Mr. Keg, as amicus curiae?
Whenever I'm needed, I'll be here.
Good night, Mr. Keg.
Good night.
Welcome back. Well, as Jonathan Keg doesn't usually practice law there, his promise of being there whenever they needed him was perhaps a little ambitious. It's kind of interesting him admitting that he cannot go on vacation without running into a murder, which is the problem that all of the great sleuths face. Because if they're not solving a murder, you know, there's no story. So we need them to run into a murder wherever they go, despite what problems that might represent for their recreation. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback, and I have an email here from Richard, who says, Adam, I'm really enjoying this new series, referring to A Life in Your Hands. Perhaps I haven't paid attention previously, but I find it interesting that Mike Wallace is the announcer. I listen to your shows and others to get my fix daily at work. Thanks so much for your great work. Well, thanks so much, Rich. And it was interesting to hear Mike Wallace and some of his performances before he found his fame as a newsman for 60 Minutes. Previously, we played an actual radio detective back in Crime on the Waterfront. There's another series that I'm planning on eventually doing called Crime Files of Flamon, where he is one of the actors who played the role of Flamon, though there were several Flamons as well as several incarnations of that particular series. But that'll be interesting to hear as well. Really, one of those, Wallace is one of those figures whose radio career didn't really give any guess as to what his ultimate claim to fame as well as his media legacy would be. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us tomorrow for Let George Do It, and we'll be back next week with another episode of A Life in Your Hands. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and call us 208-991-4783. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.